Welcome to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Tosfos Shiur Brachos Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf to view today's Mark Tosfos using the popular Gemara marking system, similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you're not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option. On Daf Chof Dalet, we turn to the second Tosfos, being that the first Tosfos was learned as part of our Daf Yomi Shiur for Daf Chof Gimel. The second Tosfos, Shnayim Shohoyu Yishenim Bemita. This was featured in the Gemara regarding people that are unclothed, sleeping together in the same bed, and there is a need for them to say Kriya Shema. So the Gemara had said in the narrow lines where you notice Rav Yosef had asked Rav Nechunya, Rav Yosef, Breder of Nechunya, had asked of Rav Yehuda, what should they do? So Rav Yehuda said, quoting Shmuel, that it's sufficient for them to turn back to back, even if one's wife is one of the people there. So regarding this, Tosfos says, Shnayim Shohoyu Yishenim Bemita, V'im Tomar, you might ask, Vahalo Roya Ervas Atzmo. So what? He solves the problem with the other person in the bed, but he is unclothed, and therefore his face, his mouth are on the same level, the same plane as his own private parts, his own erva. V'yesh Lomar, the solution to this is Sheyotzi Rosha Lechutz, that he shall, we're talking about people that were covered with a blanket, so he protrudes his head outwards, thereby his head is being separated from the rest of his body, being that the head is outside and the blanket is covering the rest of his body. V'im Tomar, you might ask, liboy roya es ha'erva. Fine, we solve the problem of his mouth being separated, but does a problem not remain regarding that his chest and is on the same plane as his private parts? V'yesh lomar, to this, Tosfos has two solutions. Dikosovar libo roa esa erva muter. He is of the opinion that one's chest and the erva on the same plane is okay. Inami, another solution is chotzeitz bevigdo keneged libo. That once we solve the face problem, as far as the chest and private parts being on the same level, he simply clenches the blanket, fabric, the cloth that is covering him, the sheet, over his heart, thereby creating a separation between his heart and his erva. The next Tosfos, V'hotanyo hoyo yoshin b'mita uvnei beiso v'chule. This was in our Gemara, in the wider lines of the Gemara. There was a third Tanaic source, being that you have a marked page in front of you. You can see the third Tanaic source that we're referring to on the early parts of the wide lines of Gemara. And in this source, we had raised the issue, how can we raised a problem for Rav Yosef, who had learned that Ishto is a simpler situation, when in this source it indicated Hoya Yoshein Bemita Uvnei Beiso Bemita, and Rashi learned Bnei Beiso Mita includes one's wife, and it says Lo Yikru Kishma Lenkein Hoyoso Taliso Mafsekes Beinehem. This being a challenge to the leniency that Shmuel, that Rav Yosef had reflected. The point being is that this source, according to Rashi's approach, includes wife in it through the term ubnei beso. So now the Tosfos takes Rashi to task. First, he quotes Rashi: "V'hatanya hoya yoshein b'mita ubnei beso v'chole pirush Rashi ishto b'chlal beso." That one's wife is included in the term beso, b'nei beso. V'loi nihira. Tosfos doesn't like this, number one, and you'll notice this is presented in our markings as a long question. The kuf is encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Tosfos text with a descending vertical dashed line with two objections. Number one, chado delo ashkechon ishto demikru b'nei beso. We don't find that one's wife is referred to by the term b'nei beso. That specific term, and in conjunction with one's wife, is not to be found as far as Tosfos is concerned. The Oid, another objection, Lepirusho Havdei Lemeimar, according to Rashi's pshat, then the Gemara should have said, instead of presenting source number three with the word v'hotanya, it should have said v'ho kotoni kan. Kevon de abraiso de liel koi. This text as it is, in effect, even though we called it source number three, really, if you keep things as they are, it's only a quote of that which was mentioned just before. In effect, source number two. So, since it was mentioned just before, it's not an outside source, it's just what was that which was quoted just before. And therefore, it would have been more proper for the Gemara to use the expression v'ho kotoni kan, avol midekomar v'hotanya, Tosfos says, but from the fact that source, what we call source number three, is introduced by the term v'hotanya, mashal de braisa heresy, it sounds that the Gemara is attempting to quote another source altogether. The Omer HaRabbeinu Yosef. So Rabbeinu Yosef has a version that makes things much smoother, the Gar Sinon, that we have as the text something else, thusly. Hoyo Yoshein Bamita, the Ishto Yeshena Betzido. Here it says explicitly in his version, his wife is next to him. Lo Yachsir Pono Vyikra Limkein Hoysatalis Mafsekis Beino Leveino. That one should not recite the Kriyashma unless a piece of fabric or sheet is separating the couple one from the other. And as we said before, that presents a problem for Rav Yosef in the Gemara in a very explicit fashion. And as the Tosfos suggests, quoting the Rav Yosef version, this is the more likely text to be used, other than as opposed to the way Rashi approached it. We continue on Omid Beis, Tosfos Chof Dalet Omid Beis, the top Umemashmesh Bevigdo. This was part of a description of things that Rabbi Chanina had seen Rebbe doing in the course of his Shmona Esrei, of Rebbe Shmona Esrei. One of the things mentioned was Umemashmesh Bevigdo. What Tosfos does here is he quotes Rashi's Pshat and presents this and the next phrase in the Gemara on the top line, Avolohoy Misatev. Rashi explained that this is two separate, unrelated acts. Tosfos will present another pshat, that of the Rach, which says really there are two aspects of the same act. And let us look now at the Tosfos. Umemashvi bevedo, Pirush Rashi, Lahavir Hakina Ha'oksoso. Rashi had explained that Rebbe would use his garment, his clothing, to remove a lice that was pricking him. Avol lo misatef, what the Gemara said on the top line in the middle, it said, but he wouldn't misatef. Im noflo taliso, if his talis fell off of him as he was davening, he, Rebbe, would not interrupt his Shmona Esrei to pick up the talis that landed on the ground. Utre mili nino, these are two separate, unrelated activities. The removal of lice, that's one thing, and the second thing, picking up a fallen garment from that he had been wearing. The Rach Piresh, the Chado Milsa He, that these expressions, Mamashu Vigdo, Avolohi, Mesatef, are really descriptions of one basic thing. Pirush Mamashish Vigdo, Tikein Bigdo, Shalo Yipol Me'al Roshoi. He adjusted, he would adjust, in the middle of the Shmon Esrei, he would adjust the garment that he was wearing to secure it in place so that it would not fall off his head. Aval Im Nofal Me'al Roshoi, but if it had fallen off from his head, Lohoya Mesatef, he wouldn't Mesatef, he wouldn't cloak himself in it. Sharei he hafsoka im misatef. That would constitute an interruption if he would do that. If he would wrap himself or cloak himself in it. Kevan shenofal legamri, since it fell off completely. Now, what I'm not sure about when it says nofal me'al rosha, does it mean it fell off his head onto his shoulders, or did it fall off his head onto the floor? But whichever case it is, picking up the talus from a fallen position, that would have constituted a hefsik. Kevan shenofal legamri, because it completely fell off. Aval lesaken ktsas shelo yipol lo havi hafsoka, but to make a minor adjustment so that it should, a preventive action so that it should not fall off, that is not an interruption. So according to the Rach, this top line is all a function of dealing with a talus to prevent its falling off, and if it already fell off, not to put it back on. The Omer Ribon Holam, the next Tosfos, this deals with a person who, in the middle of his Shemona Esrei, needed to pass wind, needed to leave gas from his body. So the source says that he shall pause and withdraw four amos, pass the wind, and before resuming his Shemona Esrei, he says a passage that was featured in the Gemara, which began with the words Ribon Ho'ilomim. So Tosfos points out, like we saw in the Rashi, he says Ribon Ho'ilomim miyad be'emzat also in the middle of his paused Shemona Esrei. Ve'ahakach maschim imokam shepasak, and then he resumes the Shemona Esrei from the point that he had paused before he passed the wind. The next Tosfos is a reference to Rabbi Yochanan's response to Rabbi Avohu. Rabbi Avohu was walking behind Rabbi Yochanan in a filthy alleyway, and Rabbi Avohu had stopped his recitation of Shemona Esrei when he reached that. He had started Shemona Esrei, that is Kriya Shema, reached the filthy alleyway and stopped. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Avohu, as far as you're asking me, at what point should I return? To what point in my Kriya Shema should I return? He says, listen, as far as I'm concerned, you didn't have to stop at all. So the Tosfos Omale Ladidi Lo Svirali Pirush. I personally hold that you didn't have to stop. Mishum Tarti Mili. For two considerations. One, Chada de Savirna, I am of the opinion, de Eno Choser Larosh, that you don't have to go back to the beginning. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Shoma, So Rabbi Yochanan, we could say, is in quoting himself, or he is consistent with what he has said elsewhere in the context of the shofar blowing. If one heard the nine Torah required shofar blasts over a course of 9 hours, experiencing great gaps between each shofar blast, nevertheless he fulfills his requirement. In other words, a long pause is not reason for going back to the beginning. The Oid, and furthermore, the severely Meniach Yodo Al Piv, that a person encountering a dirty alleyway can continue reciting his Kriya Shema just by placing his hand over his mouth. V'im kein havi le roi. You're dealing with a situation of a person fit, as opposed to cases where a person has to pause because he personally is not fit. He is fit in this case for saying the Kriya Shema, and therefore there was no there's no need to pause in the first place. But according to you, Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Avohu, that are of the opinion that you have to have stopped. So in a case where you have to have stopped, so then you're portraying or describing a situation through your stopping of someone not fit for saying the Kriya Shema, and as a result of that, a pause that is long enough to certainly say the whole thing, if you pause that long, you would have to go back to the beginning. But we have to emphasize here, this is Rabbi Yochanan speaking to Rabbi Avohu on his terms, not Rabbi Yochanan's own personal opinion. The Gemara, further down on the page, had mentioned that people who have to stop and don't stop are guilty, are committing an offense. And the Gemara cited actually three different opinions on what pasuk is what is relevant to this. The second of the opinions was Rav Asi, who said, "Hoy moishche ha'ovon b'chavle hashav." Tosfos says, "B'chavle hashav, klomar b'chinom moishchem aleim ovoin." For naught they are drawing upon themselves sin. Ki tov hoya shelo hoya mekaymen oso klal. It would have been better for them not to have fulfilled this whatsoever. It would appear from Tosfos that it would have been simply better for them not to have said the Kriya Shema whatsoever, but through saying the Kriya Shema when they shouldn't have done it, they're drawing upon themselves a sin for nothing. And the meaning that by doing nothing, it would have been better for them. So that the sin is through nothing. In other words, they should have opted for nothing, namely to stop the recitation and thereby avoiding sin. The next Tosfos is noted is really relevant to Daf Chof Hei, which is not part of today's Shiur. So with that, we conclude our Tosfos Daf Yomi Shiur for today.